You're listening to Finding Direction, where we help people who feel lost find direction in their life. We interview the most passionate and fulfilled people and reverse engineer their life to uncover how they found direction. In doing so, we uncover strategies, tactics, and actionable steps you can apply to live a life of passion, fulfillment, and happiness. I'm your host, Stu Massengill, and thanks for listening in. What's up, everybody? This week's episode is brought to you by Audible. And if you have not heard of Audible yet, this is an absolute must-have, an absolute must-add to your tool belt and to your daily life. Now, a little bit about Audible. They are a leading provider of spoken word audiobooks. Basically, you can find any book you would ever imagine in audiobook format on Audible. And a couple books that I personally have listened to on Audible and honestly that have been the most impactful books in my life are two that I'll recommend for you that you can basically dive right into. The first book is called The Defining Decade. And I know on this show we talk a lot about figuring out your life, your purpose, and what you want to do with your life. And this book basically, Dr. Meg Jay, she really dives into a little bit more of the science behind how to figure out what you want to do with your life. She was a counselor at a college, and basically through seeing so many people go through this question of what do I want to do with my life, she really went into this pretty big study around it. So that's a phenomenal book. Absolutely, absolutely recommend that if you're wanting to figure out what you're doing with your life. And the second book, which this is hands down absolutely the most profound book I've ever read in my life, the biggest book that changed my life, and it's called How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. And don't get sidetracked by the title. It's not a negative connotation of influencing people. It's how can you go out there and be better at communicating, right? Because if we are not good with humans, we're not going to enjoy life as much. They are everywhere. I grew up as a shy kid and didn't really feel like I had communication skills. And when I got my hands on this book, I can tell you it changed everything for me in my life, not just to be happier around people, but just be more fulfilled and more excited and find more joy in life. So those are two books that I absolutely, absolutely hands down recommend. And a couple other cool things about Audible is, as we mentioned, there's thousands of titles you can choose from there. And the cool part is you get to listen wherever you want. You can actually download the audiobook to your phone and you can listen to it while you're on a plane. You can pause it. You can come back to it on another device and resume right where you left off. And it's all done from an app from your phone. So they make it really simple. You listen to it anytime you want. I often will listen to it while I'm cooking food or going on a walk or if I'm working out. It's just an easy way to really learn more while doing a bunch of other random things that I do in my daily life. So absolutely recommend checking them out. And for all of you that have not checked out Audible yet, what we're going to be doing today on the episode, which is really cool, is we're going to get you a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership of Audible. All you need to do is just go to audibletrial.com/findingdirection and you're going to get one free audiobook. So, you know, again, I would check out The Defining Decade. It's a big book helping you figure out what you want to do with your life. And also another incredible one, a must check out, is How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. Again, just go to audibletrial.com/findingdirection. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Finding Direction. This week on the podcast, I'm sitting down with Maria Brito. And to give you a little bit of Maria's background, she's an award-winning contemporary art advisor. She's a curator. She is a former lawyer. She's an advocate for creativity. And most recently, she's the author of a book called How Creativity Rules the World. All right. Now, on this episode, a few of the things we talk about is how as you begin to grow up in your life, how you need to start making your own decisions. And when you do that and you take control of your life, that's when you're really going to step into the life that's meant for you. All right. Once you let your decisions lead your life. We also talk about how Maria was able to take the leap of faith from being a lawyer to following what her heart was actually pulling her to do, which was something entirely different that everybody said didn't make any sense. But as you will hear in her story, it turned out in a really lovely way. All right. We also talk about why creativity is so important. And we talk about so much more in this episode. So without further ado, we are going to dive right in and I'll see you on the podcast.
Maria Brito, welcome to the show. We are excited to have you here.
Hi, Stu. I'm excited too. And hello, everybody who's listening.
Love it, love it. So fill us in a little bit, Maria. I'm curious, you know, what was life like for little Maria as you were a girl growing up?
You know, I grew up in Venezuela, South America, and I was a performer, a child with a lot of artistic talent. I used to sing, and my parents thought that was very cute until it became a more serious thing, and I got all this phone calls from record labels and touring bands. And my parents were like, no, in this house, you are an attorney or an engineer or a doctor. You are going to do that. And so, you know, I sort of like sold out because little Maria was very close to her parents. It was a conservative family, a Catholic family in South America. Really is very, very old school. And I decided that I wanted to go to law school because I was very good reading, writing. I had a lot of passion for things about justice and social justice. And so I went to law school and I graduated from Harvard Law because I moved alone on my own. My parents didn't come. I moved from Venezuela to the States. I graduated from Harvard Law and I practiced corporate law in New York City for 9 years, hating it with all my might. So that's little Maria until Maria 32. So that's it.
So if we dive back into, I'm curious, like this original moment you spoke about where it was like, you started to do some of these creative things, dancing, singing, all this stuff. And like, you had real opportunity come to you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, like an incredible opportunity. It sounds like, I'm curious, what age were you when that was sort of initially like squashed by your parents?
In my teens, because when, I mean, I was, it's not like a Justin Bieber type of crazy thing, right? Like, I mean, I was, no, I was in my teens and, you know, like a young adult, if you will. And I see, this is what I wanted. And my parents said no. So, and you have to understand the context because this is very important, right? If I would have been a teenager in the US at the time, I would have said, okay, I'm going to go, I'm going to wait tables, I'm going to sleep in my car, whatever, right? I mean, the things that, no, actually, if you think about it, there are options. You're going to say, I'm going to make money out of waiting tables, I'm going to get a job at The Gap, and I'm going to fold clothes. Those things are not available in South America where you actually can pay for your rent and the life, right? Like, not when I was working, much less now, actually. It's a mess right now. But like when I was growing up, you would have never got, and that is part of the reason why, if you think about it, my parents wanted me to have a dependable job because they thought I was going to be there with them, you know, or like that I was going to spend my life there. So they didn't see that there were other things available to me. And if you go back and look at the stars of, you know, singing, music, whatever, it's very difficult to find any one of them who actually did it without their parents' support. In fact, the parents were like the ones who gave them, you know, the push, right? Like, I mean, if you think about like Britney and Shakira, actually, whom I've met, and she is just 1 year younger than I am. And she made her parents move from the city where she was born in Colombia to the capital so that she could pursue her singing career, right? So I couldn't do what I wanted to do because I didn't have my parents' support, and it was really impossible to do it on my own.
Yeah. And so I definitely agree with you where it's like, you know, when parents are supportive of what you have, it's a huge foundation and a pillar that is massively helpful and can be an advantage. But I'm curious, like, let's say someone's listening to this and they had a similar experience where when they were younger, you know, their parents didn't really support them and they had an idea and they squashed it. I think it's such an interesting thing, even to kind of see like the full circle of your life, where I think it happens too often where when we're younger or we're kids, if we don't have supportive parents, that something can get squashed down and pushed down and like shoved away, when eventually your soul and your nature of who you are as a human will always come to the front. And I'm curious what you would say to anybody that feels like they're currently going through a similar situation where they have something that maybe initially in their life, maybe it was a parent, maybe it was a teacher, maybe it was an uncle, an aunt, or someone that was like, this isn't realistic. You can't do this. You need to go this other path. And they feel like they have this thing that they're kind of like pushing down. Just like, what advice would you give to someone like that to kind of help them?
Well, I think that there is always an opportunity for anybody to reinvent themselves and do things that makes their heart sing and makes them feel alive. And I always say, you're never going to be as young as you are today, right? I mean, that's the truth. Yeah. And like I did, for example, I reinvented my whole life at the age of 32. And it's not that I was old, but I was not obviously going to go for a performance career at that age. But I ended up doing the thing that I was meant to be doing because I'm extraordinarily happy and I am fulfilled and I have a business that is an industry leader. And I think that the only limitations that stops us from getting to those places of happiness are the ones that we put ourselves once we are in control of our lives, right? Like our parents cannot dictate anymore our choices and who we are. And so that's very important to remember, that if you have been contemplating a career change, or if you have contemplating the idea of having your own business, the only thing that's stopping you from doing that is you.
Hmm. Do you think sometimes your parents not being supportive is, and I don't want this to come off in the wrong way for anybody, but is it an excuse for some people? Like, oh, my parents said I can't, you know, shouldn't do this when I was young, so I'm not even going to try. Because sometimes the reality is sometimes it's easier to not try than to try knowing that we could fail.
Definitely. I think that that's an excuse, because there is how much control your parents can have over you when you're an adult, right? And I think that very much aligned with what you say, it's easier to put the blame on others than to actually say, well, I failed, or I made mistakes, or I didn't do what I was willing to do or dreaming about doing because I didn't do it, right? I mean, that is a very hard pill to swallow. But I actually think that once you become honest with yourself and attain full responsibility for your life, then things have to be easier to a certain degree, right? Because then it's like, who am I going to find to blame? Who am I going to find to like put on, you know, all this burden of why I didn't do what I do? And so one thing I love to say is that when something in your life doesn't work out, when something fails, let's say, I like to put the idea of the failure on the project or that particular venture and not you, if you know what I'm saying, right? Like, this thing failed, but not me, right? It's like, okay, look, certain business ventures fail, but that doesn't mean I fail. Is the business venture, right? I mean, so I still am responsible for whatever happened, but it's the failure is not on me. It's on an idea that didn't work, right? Yeah. And so that is not to disassociate yourself from your, you know, your part on what worked and what didn't, but it is to give you perspective on that not everything you're going to do is going to be a huge success. But also the things that haven't worked out are just ways to show you lessons, you know, that are to prevent you from something worse sometimes, right? And so, you know, we can only see those things in hindsight, though. That's the thing, right? When we go and turn our heads back and say, whew, thank God that thing didn't work out, because where would I be, right? Or what would have happened? So I think that is, you know, the taking responsibility for our actions and our lives is actually super important for success. But also, do not take every failure as if you are the failure.
Right. Yeah. No, I definitely hear what you're saying. I think like taking responsibility is huge. And but I definitely remember one point in my life very much in alignment with what you're saying, where it comes to, you know, taking responsibility in your life, everything begins to change in that moment. Like I remember a moment in my life where I began to realize if I fail, it's my fault, but also if I succeed, it's my fault. And I think we need to sort of own this ideology in every area of our life, where it's like, if I'm happy, genuinely happy every single day with my life, like you were saying, you're like, I know what I'm doing because I'm happy every single day. That's your fault. Like if you're depressed or sad, as harsh as it is to say, like, it's your fault. And I think once you begin to have ownership around whatever it is you're focusing on in your life, that it's your fault. It could be your health, your relationship. You give yourself power regardless of if you're at where you want to be or not, because once you own it, now you have a power to be able to shift it and to change it. And that's really what can begin to start to change the trajectory of your life. And so I'm very much in agreement with you that once we take responsibility for our life, even with the things that our parents say, our life begins to change. And I guess one thing I would love to hear from you is, what was your parents' response in that moment where you're like, hey guys, I'm not doing this legal thing anymore. I'm done with law school. I'm done being a lawyer. I'm done. I know I am called to do something else. What was your parents' response?
Well, I had already left. I was paying for my life. I was married. I was living in New York City. So they did not have much control. I actually thought about what are they going to think? But I didn't think about what they're going to think. Like, I'm afraid of doing my thing from now on. It's more like, how am I going to tell them this? You know, because obviously, look, there is an enormous sacrifice, financial and your time, that entails to go to a school like Harvard. And then, you know, you pass the bar exam and then you work so hard, right? So they didn't understand, right? Like they were like, what? I mean, what exactly is that you're going to do? You know, and, I think that to a certain degree, my dad, for example, is still like, my daughter, the lawyer, you know, like that kind of thing. But look, if that makes him happy, so be it.
Yeah,
right.
Totally.
I know who I am right now. I know that I am not a lawyer. I know that I reinvented my life spectacularly, really. And I respect that if they want to think about that and that they want to see me in that way, that's them, right?
Yeah.
And not me. I think that my parents really mean well. And but if they mean, you know, parents actually prepare kids for their world and not for the world where we end up living and doing things like that. So I think that this is their world and their ideas that are very outdated. And, but I think that they see that I'm successful, that I'm doing fine, that I, you know, I can, like, I'm happy, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, look, I live my life for me. And that is something that I have embraced and accepted as a mantra. Like, this is my life. And I am very grateful for what my parents gave me. But I also feel that, you know, like, I'm living my life for me.
Yeah.
And this is what I want to do.
Yeah. So when you left and you said, I'm not doing law anymore, what kind of inspired you to take the next step? Or, like, I guess more importantly, how did you figure out what the next step was?
Look, I mean, for the longest time, maybe 2 years really before quitting, I was already thinking about what was going to be my next move, because I had like different jobs at different law firms. And it was almost like I always took the next, you know, it was one of those things where like headhunters are always calling you and like, oh my God, and this is going to be amazing. And they're going to, you know, and I was like, okay. So I always thought the next job is going to be better. Right? The next law firm is going to be the one. And the problem was not the law firm. It was me. I had nothing to do with that environment. the one who was miserable was me. The law firm is the law firm. I mean, they don't sugarcoat anything. They know that you're going to have to work, and they usually tell you, right? Like, you're going to have to work. Like, the lifestyle, what is a law firm with a lifestyle? Either is a small law firm where you don't really make a lot of money and it's equally boring, or is a law firm that paints this picture that the lifestyle is because they take you to drinks once a month or something. That's the lifestyle, right? Kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. So, you know, after I did all the law firms, I was like, okay, the problem is that I don't want to do this. It's not the law firms, because, you know, and I had this fascination with contemporary art, because I grew up, growing up in Venezuela, my parents actually thought that taking me to galleries and museums and traveling, because we didn't have a lot of money, but the money that was the surplus was always for travel. So I was sent to travel the world, many, like Europe and stuff like that. And I was fascinated by art history and contemporary art. And, you know, I was like, I'm not going to go back. Actually, I thought maybe I can go back to school to get a master's in art and business, which was one of the ideas that I had. And then I was like, no, man, I'm not spending $70,000 on this. There's no way. You know what? I'm going to use the money that I have in my savings to build a business. So I contemplated a lot of things. It was, you know, if anybody is thinking about shifting, if anybody's thinking about opening a business, it's not a decision that is like overnight. It's not a thing that, oh my God. No, you know, it's an accumulation of ideas and points where you start like getting fed up with whatever it is that your current conditions are. So, and then you analyze and you evaluate a lot of different options, right? And that's the right way of doing things. And then I hate to say the right way, but I think that nobody should really jump suddenly, right? Like, you do have to do a lot of research. You have to do a lot of soul searching. And then, right? And then you jump. And no matter how weird your option, your new option is, or you trust yourself because you've already done the research, because you've already, you know, dug and like looked inside a lot, and you're like, I'm going to do this, right? And that's what I did. I mean, I spent, you know, like the first year when I was like contemplating the career shift or whatever, I talked to a lot of people in different industries. I talked to people in fashion. I talked to people in the arts. I talked to people in non-for-profits. I spoke with a lot of different people to hear their ideas and thoughts and this and that, right? Like, what I got from like the majority of the people that I had conversations with were like, girl, you're so senior. You can't start from scratch, right? Like, you can't start from scratching any of these companies because nobody's going to give you a job. But then you come from the side. And then I was like, yeah, you know what? That's true. And also, I don't really want any of these people to be on top of me, right? And I started paying attention to people who did the job that I currently have. And I saw that there was an opening, an opportunity for me to do the things that they were missing. And I started taking notes about that. And most of the big disruptors in industries are usually outsiders, because it's hard to disrupt the industry you're in as a person who's been there for a long, long time. Or also since the beginning of your career, because you tend to get comfortable and develop a lot of blind spots. And also when
you're in it, it's harder to see it as a whole.
It's harder to see it. And also, well, you get some sort of like a roadmap. Oh, this is how things are done, right? And you could potentially question them, but you don't necessarily go against them, right? And so that's what I did. I was like, I'm going to question everything. Why is this done this way? Or why is nobody doing this? And that was my opportunity. And I said, I also saw like a couple of people were kind of like successful, but they don't necessarily work too much. And I was like, oh, but I do have the work ethics of an attorney, right? If like these people are working 2 hours a day, I'm going to come and do 10, because that's actually like not that much. So I did have those advantages, and I said I'm going to open an art advisory company that is going to humanize and demystify the art world for layman, and is going to explain things in plain English. And I'm going to build a business where, you know, it's going to feel fresh. I'm going to utilize a lot of content, social media. Mind you, that was 13 years ago. Instagram didn't exist, right? And so I was pioneering, like, blogging. People were not blogging about art at all, or like exploring the intersections of art and fashion, art and music. You know, nobody was doing that. And I said, okay, this is going to be my spot. And it was. And, you know, I pride myself on saying that I started doing these things before anybody was doing them. And I started writing about them and documenting them and showing them to the world before everybody else was trying to do the same. And the good thing is that because I have done already so many things, I'm always like two or three steps ahead of like people who do the same thing. Cause I am like, oh, I already found something else that I want to explore. Not that I open a different business, you know, all the time, but like, within a business, you are always going to have to reinvent yourself, or someone else is going to disrupt you, right? And you don't want that. And, you know, I feel that that has given me the edge.
Love it.
What's up, my friends? It's Stu, and I have big news for 2021. After interviewing hundreds of people on their journey in life and experiencing my own journey to a life full of fulfillment and passion, I finally put together a special guide just for you. And it's called 3 Steps to Finding Direction in Under 10 Minutes. And you can go grab it at findingdirectionuniversity.com/3steps. If you're feeling lost and like you're not quite sure what you want to do with your life, this guide will help you figure out exactly what your next step is in just under 10 minutes. You're not alone in this journey, and I'm excited to guide you through this process until you've truly created a life that you love. Go grab the guide at findingdirectionuniversity.com/3steps. I look forward to helping you create your dream life.
And I know one big thing that you obviously talk about and teach and help people with is this idea of creativity.
Yes.
And so I would be curious, like, because creativity and doing some of my studies and research on you, one of the things that I think I'm in agreement with some of your philosophies is that creativity really is like a muscle, right? And if you don't use it, you lose it. And there's sort of this societal view. It's like, well, some people are creative and some people aren't. And I think we're both in agreement that that's a bunch of hocus pocus, and you can learn to be creative, and you can strengthen that muscle, and you can flex that muscle so that it can help you grow in every area of your life. And I'm curious, like, what would you say are a few things someone can do who's listening to this to just start being more creative in their life?
Look, I mean, the topic of creativity fascinates me to the extent that I wrote a book about it. But I think that here's the thing. Creativity is not one thing. Creativity is an amalgamation of skills, right? And what are those skills? Is your ability to take risks, is your desire to express your unique ideas. It is your ability to see things from a different perspective. It is your willingness to question the status quo. It is wanting to ask one more question when nobody else wants to ask that question. So this is why a lot of people get frustrated or confused about creativity and about uniqueness and originality, is because they think it's a God-given talent that has been bestowed or provided by the gods and muses, when the truth is that it is a variety, it's like a salad of different skills that the truth is anybody can have and anybody can work on them to strengthen them daily. but they don't, because they are just kind of focused on this big, incredible magic thing that's going to come with just one idea when they are meditating in their grottos with the infrared lights and whatever. And that's not what it is, you know? Yeah. It is not. The most creative people in the world are working, and they are allowing their ideas to flow within their routines. They are willing to also step aside, take some time to think about other things, take some time off from, you know, the problems that consume them, where they are trying to find solutions. Yeah. So it's not just, it's not rocket science. It's not brain surgery. It's not that hard, but we have been conditioned to think that creativity is a thing that belongs to certain geniuses, and that you don't have it. And that is a fallacy. And I'm here to bring and shed light to that concept, because as I have not only built my business and done such a transition, I've also had the great privilege to work with not only like the most creative contemporary artists and successful, but also with entrepreneurs and with CEOs of Fortune 500 companies, with celebrities, people who have hired me to either work with them on their art collections or to consult on the topics of creativity and innovation. And I can attest that it is something that people come up with their best ideas because they keep working every day right. on those skills. And also, and a very important part of creativity is that you do have to materialize those ideas, and you have to test and experiment to see what takes. If you just leave everything as like this utopian thing in your head yeah. and this dream and whatever, unfortunately, you know, we're none of us are going to be able to enjoy your product, your business, your services, your book, your film, whatever, because it's just going to stay in your head.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. One of the big things I share with a lot of people that's super in alignment with this is it's like clarity comes through experience, not thinking. Right.
Yes.
And it's like sometimes we get so caught up in our head where it's like, well, I could do this and that could work and maybe this thing. And it's like, you're never going to know unless you like do it, unless you lay it out there. And like, you know, especially as like a business owner and things in that sense, it's almost like just putting yourself out there as naked and being like, hey, this is what I created or what I made, or like, you know, and just allowing yourself to do that and not get caught up in, I think sometimes the fear that stops people where it's like, oh, well, what if it goes wrong? What if it doesn't work? And I think you have to learn to flip that on its head and say, not what if it goes wrong, what if it doesn't work, what if people don't like it, but what if it goes right? What if it goes the way that it's supposed to go? What if this changes somebody's life? What if this leads to the life you've always wanted? And allow yourself to step into the positive thought of what if it could go the right way? And if you do that consistently enough and kind of flex this creative muscle that we're talking about, eventually you're going to find yourself in a place that you really are happy. And so a few last questions I have for you. One, you mentioned earlier that you go, I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing because I'm happy.
Yeah.
And I think that is such a gold nugget that's real. You know what I mean? It's like, if you're not happy, there's a potential possibility that you're not doing work or something that really excites you, that you like, that you enjoy. And then everything affects everything. It dribbles into your relationship. It dribbles into your health. It dribbles into your work. You know, overflows into every other area of your life. And when you really have found the thing that you're supposed to do, there is this sense of happiness. There's a sense of peace. There's a sense of alignment. And I'm just curious, like, how do you think people start to find the thing that makes them say, just like you said, I know what I'm doing because I'm happy?
You know, I mean, this might sound corny, but obviously happy and happiness is a daily job, and it is I wouldn't just say strive for like, oh, I'm always happy, right? I mean, because that is like this toxic positivity that people have talked about, right? But I think that the way that I see things is that if I am satisfied with what I'm doing, if I find happiness and fulfillment, you know, I have deadlines, I have demanding clients.
Yeah.
Sometimes there are things that are like painful, right? And even through those moments, I'm like, but I still enjoy this, right?
Yeah.
It would be really sad if I had wasted all these amazing moments at a law firm. It would have been so sad if I would have been a prisoner of those offices that made me so miserable, right? And you always have to have, sometimes I have, you know, like this desire to complain about something, and I may, but then yeah. I like bring myself back to my center and I'm like, think about where I was 13 years ago and look where I am today and all the things that I have accomplished and all the things that my, it's almost like I honestly on a day-to-day basis, I don't remember anything about that time because it was like what I call them my dark ages. And now I'm in my renaissance, right? Like, so like literally the same thing as history, right? I was in the dark ages of my life and now I'm in my renaissance and it's a very important, beautiful place for me. And look, I just have this sense of gratitude. And I think that when people spend time in something as important as your job or career or business or whatever, and you hate it, like you said, that's going to manifest in many different areas of your life.
Everything.
And it's just going to give you consistent, first it's going to be nudges and then it's going to be punches, right? Like, I mean, because like that's how it is. Yeah. So that's how it is. And I just didn't want to get punched. I was already getting all these nudges, right? And look, it's long. I'm telling you, it's like all the law school years, all the years practicing, it gave me a foundation that is invaluable. The truth is, but it is what it is. And I don't want to look back with like also like anger about that, but I am like, look, I moved on, right?
Yeah,
I'm so grateful that I was able to reinvent myself with something so incredibly different and to find success and happiness and, you know, a joy and a world of different people that I respect, that I have fun with, that like I feel good, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that we have this kind of like, as humans, we do have a birthright, right? To explore and to develop ourselves. And we cannot grow if we're stuck. That's for sure, right? Like, I mean, you don't grow, you don't develop yourself if you are stuck in one area, if you're stuck in your career, if you have a sense of stagnation. And that is something that a lot of people unfortunately suffer when they have had a job for too long that they hate. And they need the you know, the paycheck, they need the benefits, whatever. But the price is extraordinarily high if you think about it. In the long term, the price is just your life, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And I think two beautiful things you said, and it's so true, is it's like, well, if I leave here, I got to pay bills and this and that and the other. And you're thinking of what it will cost you to leave. But a really powerful question is to ask yourself, well, what is it going to cost you to stay? Is it, you know what I mean? And if you really start to take a look at that, like, what's it costing me to stay here and to be miserable every single day? It's a lot, you know? And I think when you face that, that kind of brings color to the situation and brings light to it and kind of shows you what's really going on. And I think a second thing is for anybody that's listening to this and they go, you know, maybe I am in the dark ages in my own life. I think one of the major things that you need to do to leave those and go to the Renaissance, right, is take courageous action. Right.
Yes.
And say, like, I need to step up. I need to demand a higher standard for my life. And I need to like own that I deserve more in my life. And it's going to be scary. And you're going to have to step into your courage part of yourself. But if you do that, things are almost always better on the other side. We as humans are really smart people, but sometimes we get just like we were talking about earlier, sometimes when you're in the situation, just like when you're in an industry, it's hard to see what's outside of it. And sometimes when you're in these dark ages, it's hard to see what's outside of it. But I think if for anybody that's listening to this, that's in that phase, hear from both of us that there's brighter things on the outside once you get outside of that world. But you gotta really ask yourself, well, what's it costing you to stay? And then you also gotta take those courageous actions. And so
absolutely.
I'm curious if Maria, if people want to get more info on you, I know you got your book, you got
yes.
So many things you're doing. Where's the best place for people to find you?
Well, my website is mariabrito.com, and that's BRITSNTOMO.com. Then there are links to social media, there are email forums, you know, if you want to get in touch with me and whatnot. My book is called How Creativity Rules the World. It's published by HarperCollins, and it's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and Bookshop and, you know, anywhere that you can get your books. And, you know, that's it. That's kind of it. I mean, it's easy. I just hope I made it easy for you guys to be able to get in touch with me.
Absolutely. And we'll put all that in the show notes so everybody has easy access to it. And the last question I have for you before we wrap is we have one question we ask all of our guests because we want to help people find direction, but do it through action. And so I'm curious, like, what would you say is one thing someone listening to this can do in the next 24 to 48 hours to start finding direction in their life?
You know, I'm a big fan of action, as you've already, you know, said that. And I think that look at, if for those who are listening, look at the things that you've been shying away from. Look at the things that you have been postponing. Look at the things that you are afraid of. For example, if you are the kind of person who loves an email but are so afraid of picking up the phone, just go please and pick up the phone and do that, right? Like, and if you have been, because look, I mean, the universe supports the actions that, and it doesn't, you know, I love the idea of the bold and courageous actions, right? Yeah. But sometimes people need like a ladder, like step one, right? It's like, okay, I'm going to pick up the phone. Step two is, you know, because I've seen it all. I've seen people who really just do very bold things, and they get away with amazing results and returns, right? And I have also seen people whose comfort and their level of, you know, the way that they feel taking chances, it's not necessarily something that they can go from 0 to 100, right? So look at the things that you're avoiding. And why, right? I mean, why are you avoiding this, right? Or what is it, the fear of failure, for example, which all of us have, right? And so what's the worst? I think that if you speak out loud about the worst outcome that could happen, what if I call and they say no? What if I've worked so hard on this project and it actually, you know, it falls flat on its face, right? So like, name it out loud. Is that going to kill you? Is that, you know, is that going to be the end of your life? For the most part, the answer is no, right? So then what? What's stopping you? Why are you doubting? Why, like, people are going to judge you whether you do it or not. That's the truth, man. Because we live in a very judgmental society, and people have taken this kind of like hobby or sport about like pointing fingers and criticizing and labeling and judging. Well, you know, too bad, because if you do not do it, you're going to be judged regardless, right? So might as well invite a great chance in your life to reinvigorate yourself, to shine with your own talents, to do the things that you love, rather than being stuck in a place of complacency, which is the worst thing, honestly, for the human soul.
Yeah. Love it, love it, love it. Well, Maria, thank you so much for coming on today. Thank you for the wisdom and everything you shared today. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Stu. And thank you, everybody, for the time. Take care.
Take care. Congratulations, my friend, on crushing it through another episode here on the Finding Direction podcast. I want you to give yourself a round of applause right now, again, for continuing to pursue a path and a life that truly lights up your soul, a life that brings you fulfillment, a life that brings you happiness. And congratulations again on making it through another episode. And never forget that if you got a dream, if you have something you feel you're supposed to do in your life, do not ever give up on that. And remember that you are meant to wake up every single day excited about the life that you are living. And we are happy to be a part of that journey with you. If you want to, please go leave us a review. We'd be extremely grateful. If you're on iTunes, you can leave us one there. If you're on Spotify, you can leave us a rating. And just let us know what was one nugget you got from this episode. Go ahead and share it there. And that's how we get this in front of more people. So have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day. And I will see you on the podcast soon, everybody. Take care.